Well, take your Bibles and turn to the book of James tonight. We're going to be talking about another part of the firm foundation of our faith, and it's wisdom. And if there's anyone in Scripture that depicts wisdom more than James, I don't know who it is, because basically James looks at everything straightforward, just like God says it, and it's exactly the way that, he puts it so easy but hard, if you know what I mean. Because sometimes we don't want to hear what he's saying, but it's exactly what we need to hear. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 8. In fact, let me just back up to verse 2 because I like to get a running start at it, and verses 2 through 4 are pretty important anyway. So he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you," here it is, "lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does." Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I ask that you'll help us understand more and more of who you are, the greatness of our God. Lord, you're awesome. And I just see it. Sometimes I'm just so blown away by the fact that you're just continually speaking truth to us. You're continually showing yourself. You're continually pouring your Spirit into us and walking alongside of us and encouraging us and meeting our needs and helping us along the way. Father, you're such an awesome, awesome Father. And I thank you so much for that. But Lord, if there's one thing that most of us lack, it's wisdom. And it really comes down to one particular thing, and that's seeing things the way that you see them. Because that's what real wisdom is all about. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see it this way, Lord, because you have so much for us to learn and so much for us to understand and so much for us to put into practice. But we won't be able to do that if we keep looking at things with our physical eyes rather than our spiritual eyes. So Lord, help us. I need help, Lord. Many days I just look at things from my own perspective and I see things that I don't really like. And yet, Lord, when I look at things from your perspective, it puts it into perspective for me. And I just thank you for that. And I ask that you'll help us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years back, I went through a long period of time of a big Bible study with several men, and one of the things that we spent a lot of time on was wisdom. And in the process of it, there was an illustration given in our study of what wisdom is, put into a way that we can understand it a little bit better. And so this man said, gave an illustration of what wisdom is really like. He and his little boy decided to go up into the mountains and go camping up by a lake in the mountains. So we could just kind of say, like maybe Freeman. And so they went up to that area and they camped out, and they set up their camp, their tent, and everything that they're getting ready, so that the next morning they could get up and go fishing, And so the little boy was really excited. This was his first camping trip with his dad, and so they got in the tent that night and they heard sounds, and dad was telling them, "Oh, it's probably a big bear coming to check us out," and how dads are. But anyway, so the next morning, the dad got up early. The boy was still asleep, and he went out and he started a fire and started cooking breakfast. And of course, the smell was enough to wake the little boy up. He was very excited. He came out, you know, and Dad had eggs and bacon and everything ready to go. And so they sat and they ate, and the little boy said, "Dad, can we go look around a little bit?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I wanted to see some animals up close. You know, and I know that there's probably deer and all kinds of other things, and I really want to see them, and then we can fish a little later. Is that okay?" "Yeah, I guess so." So they ate their food and put everything away, and so then they took off through the forest, looking at, you know, they saw chipmunks and squirrels and all kinds of stuff, and an occasional deer would, you know, grace their vision, and they were just enjoying the time together. It was just a bonding time for them. But in a little bit, the father started looking around and started realizing, you know what, I'm not really sure where I am. Of course, he didn't want to let the little boy know that, you know, because dads don't get lost. We always know where we are. I'm right here. But anyway, so he started looking around, and he didn't know if he had turned way too many times to be going the opposite direction of where they started out, and he was kind of getting freaked out there for a little bit, and the little boy started seeing that his dad was kind of, you know, had consternation on his face, and he said, "Dad, what's wrong? Are we lost?" He goes, "Oh, no, we're not lost. We're not lost." But the dad started thinking, you know, this is terrible. I've led my little boy out into the wilderness. I don't even know where I am. He said, "I wish there was some way that I could just get up above the top of these trees, and then I could see where we are and where the lake is and how to get back there." But his perspective was down here. When we start seeing things from God's perspective, we can see where we are, where we've been, where He wants us to go. That's wisdom. Seeing things from His... They may have been lost, but God knew that where they were. Right? Well, in the same way, James puts it into a pretty straightforward language here. And so we're going to take a look at that beginning in verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God." Let me ask you a question. Why would you ask God for wisdom? This is a pretty easy question. Okay? Because He's the giver of all good, you know, of all knowledge. He's the giver of all things. If you lack wisdom, we will have times when we don't know what to do. And those things come up regularly in our lives, and we don't know exactly what to do. And so we can either choose by our own volition or desires or our intellect what we think would be good. But wouldn't it be better to just ask God and ask Him what we ought to do? You see, we are not born with wisdom. Let me just tell you, if you let a little 2-year-old loose and don't give him any direction, he's going to cross the road. He doesn't have wisdom. He doesn't understand that if the truck hits him, he's gone. You know, they don't get it. You get them out of the car at a shopping center, they take off running through the parking lot. And what's the first thing you do? You go, "Yeah, go ahead." You know, no, you're screaming at them, "Stop." Because they don't have this wisdom. We are not born with wisdom. We are not born with the ability to be able to see the things that God sees. So, James says, if you lack wisdom, the first way you know that you lack wisdom is to realize you don't have it. Right? Then you start becoming wise because you realize you don't have it, but you want it. Since we're not born with wisdom. There is a shortage of wisdom that is exacerbated by a lot of different things in our lives. Financial decisions that we have to make. A lot of times we look at the books and we look at the checkbook and we look at, you know, the bills and we go, what are we going to do? What are we going to have to cut back on? How are we going to get through this period of time or whatever? But what should we do at the very beginning of all that? We should just lay things out before God. Say, "God, this is your money. You've given it to us to use. We want to be good stewards of it. What do you want us to do with it?" Or, "This is a lack of our money, And Lord, we don't know how we're going to make it through whatever the situation is. Family decisions. You know, your young teenager might come to you at a point getting close to graduating from high school and say, well, I want to go off to college in New York City. And, you know, our first reaction is probably like, New York City? Get a rope. No, that's something. You know, it's just, no. But the fact is that as a family, we need to be able to look at things from God's perspective and not our own, because everybody in the family is going to have a different opinion. It's just the way it is. But it helps so much when we can start seeing things from God's perspective. What does God want us to do? In fact, that ought to be the first question that everybody asks for any situation. Lord, what is it that you want? It's not what I want. Not my will, but your will. What is it, Lord? If you have a job situation that comes up, you've maybe been given a big promotion or another place has offered you a big-time job that seems to be too good to pass up or whatever, what should you do? Well, you should ask of God, and He will give. The Scripture says right here, if you lack the wisdom, ask of Him. He gives generously to all without finding fault. Maybe you have a relationship that's suffering. Maybe it's between you and another person in your family. Maybe it's between you and a coworker, or it's between you and somebody, your neighbor or somebody else, and you're struggling with what to do. What should we do? We should ask of God. But instead, we tend to allow these kinds of decisions exacerbate the issue of the shortage of our own personal wisdom. So to gain wisdom, we must admit that we lack it. No one is wiser than admitting they don't know what to do. You see, it's at that point where you say to God, God, I don't know. I don't know what I should do. I'm reading your word. I'm listening to your spirit. What is it that you want in this situation? We have to admit that we lack wisdom to ask for it. Pride goes before the fall, Scripture says. And there's a lot of people, including myself sometimes, that think, hey, I got this. I know exactly what I ought to do. That's exactly when you ought to stop for just a minute and say, whoop, I know what I want to do, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And it many times is totally different than what I've come up with. The foolish refuse to admit the need for wisdom. I don't need to ask anybody what to do. I've been trained. I've gone to college. I know what. I don't need to ask anybody else. In fact, I think it's more difficult for men to ask for help than it is for women, because we think that somehow by admitting we need help that we're weak. But it is when we are weak that we are made strong. That's what Paul says. Lord, what is it do you want me to do? Life creates a demand for wisdom. There's no doubt about it. Secondly, God supplies wisdom to those who will ask. Now, I wonder why James put it this way. Look at it one more time. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. That word ask means to come into his presence and ask him specifically. You see, we can want wisdom, and we can look stuff up. We can Google it. We can ask other friends and family members. We can do all those kinds of things. But why would we go through all of that and not just come and ask God? See, Google is not God. Although they might think that they are. God is the source of all wisdom. In fact, when you stop to think about it, there is never, ever, nor will there ever be anything that God has ever done that was not wise. So if you want to ask the most wise person ever, it's God. He's the source of all wisdom. And it's a divine gift that can only come from Him. We don't receive wisdom from education. We don't I've known some really, really smart people, book-wise, that couldn't tie their shoes properly. You did all kinds of things. It has nothing to do with your IQ ability or anything like that. It has everything to do with realizing who the source is that gives this gift of wisdom. Seeing things from His perspective. We are to ask of God. And the Scripture says, if we ask of Him, what will He do? He will give it to you. This is a straight out statement of God. A lot of people call it the promise of God. I don't have to call it a promise. It's a statement of God. Because if He says it, He's going to do it, right? And so if you lack wisdom, ask of Him. Ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to Him. Generously, that means He won't just give you a little bit, just enough to get yourself in trouble. He will pour it out as much as you can handle. He'll continually give it to you. It's the picture of the living water, the same thing. It is pouring and pouring and it doesn't stop. But you have to ask for it first. You have to want it from Him and desire it from Him. He is the source of all wisdom and He gives it generously. And He doesn't try to find fault with us. He doesn't really have to look very hard to find that, right? But He doesn't have to find fault. He knows that if you come to Him and ask Him for wisdom, your heart is right. And He wants to fill you up with His wisdom. Why? Because when people see wisdom in you, they'll realize where it comes from, because it doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. All wisdom comes from God. Thirdly, wisdom is supplied to those who ask in faith. That word faith, it means more and more and more to me every single day of my life. As I get into God's Word, as I listen to what He has to say, I think this past week I was writing through one of our devotionals and I came to that story of Jesus in the boat, and He says, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. But when they got out in the middle of the deal, He was asleep. And here comes the storm, it's so bad it was about to turn the boat over. And He's just sleeping. And the other disciples are freaking. And they wake Jesus up and say, do you want to die? Help us. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, peace, be still. And it was. And so this is like the very first time that the disciples, I believe, really understood who Jesus was. And the Scripture says they began to worship Him. See, they'd been following Him, but they had not yet worshipped Him until that point, because they realized who He was. And I like what somebody said one time. They said, Jesus wasn't worried. He was asleep. Why? He had already told them what they were going to do. They were going to go to the other side. If He knew they were going to sink, He would have said, we're going to go out there halfway, sink, and die. But He didn't do that, because He knew exactly what was going to happen. Faith is then being able to look and see and have an attitude of trust and realize that whatever it is that God tells you, even though you might not understand how it's going to work, and even though you might not see the ending, He says, we're going to the other side. We say there's a big storm coming in. He says, we're going to the other side. You say, okay, I believe you, God. Faith is an attitude of trust. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, if they had had faith, they would have just let Jesus sleep. And the storm would have finally quit. And they would have gotten to the other side, no doubt about it. Because that's what Jesus said would happen. But they freaked out instead. And they started looking at it from their own personal perspective. And every time we start doing that, instead of seeing things from God's perspective, our wisdom goes right out the side of our head somewhere and we can't find it. Many people say seeing is believing, but Scripture reveals that believing is seeing. There have been so many times in my life that I just didn't know how or what was going to happen. And I had to say, Lord, we just trust You. We just trust You. We know that You brought us to this place. You have something in store for us. We don't see how things are going to work out. We don't see what's going to happen. And yet we still just trust You, Lord, because we know You have us in the palm of Your hand. And You'll never let go of us. Faith means trusting Him completely, not doubting. Look at what it says here. Now, this is interesting how James puts it, because he always gets straightforward when he says something. He says in verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he'd receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all he does. What does that mean to be double-minded? It means, I say I believe God, but I don't believe God. I say I trust You, God, wherever You lead me, but then I don't trust You, and I go my own way. I say, Lord, I know that You have a way for me, but I don't even ask You about what that way is, and I go and do what I think is I'm supposed to do. We're double-minded in many ways, especially when we doubt God when He says to ask Him. Ask believing, trusting that if you ask Him, He will give it. It means this word doubt means to have a dispute with yourself, in oneself. In other words, do you ever think that you ought to do this, but then you think, well, maybe I shouldn't do this, and then you feel like those two little angels are sitting on your shoulders, and one saying do it, and the other one saying don't, and you're wondering, who should I listen to? You need to flick both of them off and just talk to the Lord. He says, if anybody does this, does not believe God, does not trust in Him, they are unstable and insecure, double-minded. And the end result is you shouldn't expect anything. God's not going to give His wisdom to people who won't receive it. I mean, why would you put all this wealth and effort and everything else into something to give to somebody, and they won't even take it? That's what God's saying. Listen, I want to show you everything about Me. Listen, folks, there's some people that think there's just things about God that we can't understand yet, and we won't know until we get to heaven. I don't believe that. I believe He wants to show us everything about Himself right now. He wants us to know Him in such an intimate, close way that we'd be surprised by somebody not even wanting to know that and getting closer to Him and drawing near to Him. Draw near to Me, He says, and I will draw near to you. You see, wisdom truly has to admit that I don't have it, but I know the One who does. And I want Him more than I want anything. I want His presence in my life. I want to abide in His presence. I want to walk and live in His presence. I don't want to get to places where I say, well, Lord, I appreciate what You've done for me today, but I'm going to do this part of it on my own. I don't ever want to do that. What I want to do is stay and abide right in His presence so that I can see things the way that He sees things. And let me tell you something that will happen. If we truly ask for wisdom, and if we truly listen to Him and walk in the way that He says for us, we will begin to see things from His perspective, including lost people. Because it's so easy for us to live a whole day and see lots of people going here and to and fro and all this kind of stuff. Hey, how you doing? Hey, neighbor, what? You know, we do all those kinds of things. But what are we doing? We're not walking and inviting in Him, because what does He see? He sees somebody who's heartbroken because somebody's left them. He sees somebody who lost their job and they're worried about how they're going to make ends meet. He sees someone who their teenager is rebelling and doing drugs. He sees people, He sees all people, and He knows exactly what's going on with them. And we don't see it because we don't ask for wisdom. So God, please help us want Your wisdom in our life. Father, I just ask You tonight, for my own self and for everyone who's listening, we want to see things from Your perspective, Lord. When we do that, we'll start to see people that need You so much, and we can't turn away from them. And we can't say, well, maybe sometime. But we'll go to them and we'll share with them how awesome You are. Lord, when we come against struggles and trials in our life, and we will, James had just mentioned that, we ought to count it joy when we go through trials, because we know that You're doing something in our lives. And so when we face those trials, we'd be very wise to say to You, Lord, whatever it is You want to do in me, here I am. Lord, if there's things in me that need to be beaten out of me, beat them out. Lord, if there's things in me that need to be changed, twist me into the direction I need to be. Lord, if there are people around me that I've been looking at them with blind eyes, open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see those fields that are white of the harvest and care about these people and what their relationship is or is not with You. Lord, give us Your wisdom. Give me Your wisdom, Lord. I want Your wisdom more than anything. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.